if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings, welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 284. This is our 2023 Nedbank Golf Challenge plus Butterfield Bermuda Championship Bets Pod. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selection for this week's DP and PGA Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Morning, guys.
Good morning, guys.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more information. And, of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world-famous golf betting system website where we have in-depth betting previews for both events. We've got strokes gained rankings for the Nedbank. We've got course form stats combined with current form stats for both events, plus, of course, our two predictor models. All of this content, like this podcast, it's all completely free of charge. On X, Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available, along with my weekly golf betting show. If you are listening to this podcast on the YouTube channel, please like the show. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. Now, Barry, this is from Mark. And guess where he's from? He's from Ireland.
Back in the game.
Now, this is quite long, but it's a great, great review. So, bear with us. Top pod, exclamation mark, 5 stars. Hi, lads. As an avid listener of the podcast for years now, I'm sorry it's taken so long to write a review. Love the chat, lads. Great company while out for a walk in the forest or while out practicing my game. I'm sure other players are looking over at me, chuckling away, as I listen to the lively banter between the three of you, thinking that guy has finally lost it. Keep up the great work. You have a listener here for life. Finally, a word for Ivor Robson, the voice of the Open. Been to the Open 21 times, and he always came across as a total gentleman and always wondered how he stayed on his feet from the first tee at 6:30 a.m., until after 4 p.m. Rest in peace, Ivor. And that is from Mark in Ireland. Mark, thank you ever so much for those poignant words and that great feedback on the pod. Thank you.
Brilliant. Yeah, thanks, Mark. And echo those sentiments about Ivor Robson. A sad, sad loss to the world of golf. But many thanks for your kind words as well.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mark. I can't understand how you could be hitting shots on a range listening to us. There's no way.
Maybe he's working on his chipping and his putting.
Yeah. Maybe it's working on like how to hit shots when you're being distracted to the maximum, you know, like tree falling over in the middle of your backswing sort of thing.
Yep.
It's victory lap time. Barry O'Hanrahan and Eric Van Rooyen. It's a partnership made in heaven last week. Well done, Barry.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely brilliant.
Fantastic stuff.
I can remember talking at the end of my segment last week, and we were going through Eric Van Rooyen, and I was agreeing 150% with everything you said about the guy. The motivation, the fact that he'd been playing well. We also had that little chat about how he'd played it well on Paspalum in Europe. And we come up with a couple of courses where he had, and it all clicked together.
It was, that was my segue. It was an amazing Sunday. I doubled down on my bet after Thursday's round. I thought he was effectively 4 shots off the lead, and he was still being offered at 80-1. So He was six back, but he was, you know, Cameron Percy had an outrageous first round, so I just thought Leeds only four away, so I doubled my bet. So it all worked out quite well. It was just surreal, that back nine. It was like watching a video game, the way he swung the club. Just looked like every shot had such focus and confidence in it. It was an amazing thing to watch. Even if I didn't have the bet on, just to see golf played like that when there's a, you know, when the pressure's at its highest in a tournament, it was really special. And then all of the stuff about his friend came, you know, started to filter through and came out afterwards, and it just kind of like he said, you know, golf doesn't matter, tournaments don't matter, wins don't matter, and you know, it was a really really emotional, amazing moment. Just so, what a great weekend. I think it's a really, you know, it's a good happy sad moment for them as well. Like, you know, we kind of made everybody a bit philosophical, but you know, we don't have any guarantees about how long we are on this planet. So, and when you get great moments like that, they're there to be treasured. So,
yep.
I'm really glad for them. They got that moment.
Yeah, no, they got to enjoy it, but. No, fantastic. I mean, from your perspective, whenever, as a punter, you're on the right side of that kind of Sunday variance where rather than a player going completely backwards on the back nine, they just produced something absolutely incredible like that. If you're on the right side of that bet, as you were, then it's massively exhilarating. So, congratulations, Barry. That's a fantastic pick and a great win. This late in the season to set you up for, well, the rest of the year and next year.
It's going to be a good Christmas.
Absolutely.
It was kind of just staggering. You know, he starts to get, you know, he makes the three birdies in a row after the turn. You're going, oh, it's kind of interesting. Maybe you can just lock in a place now, happy days. And then you start thinking, there's no way you can keep holding these putts, and they just keep dropping.
It's a shame they didn't have strokes gain metrics there, because his strokes gain putting in that final round must have been through the ceiling.
A lot.
He was nailing everything.
Yeah.
Centre cup.
That was true. Like, nothing seemed to go in at all, the side door at all. It was all
in the middle.
Yeah.
Just nailing them. In a way, you know, that thing with his friend, and he bogeyed the first, didn't he? And Camillo and Matt Kuchar got off to fast starts. I expect he's there in the last group, and he's thinking, well, I've got no chance of winning this now. These guys are 5-6 shots clear of me. And all of a sudden, just the natural golf, because he was clearly in great nick, just came back. And once he got on that momentum train, it all came together. That's two wins now in the States for Van Rooy. He's clearly a capable sort, isn't he?
If he keeps swinging like that, oh my God. It was like watching a video game.
Yeah. You know, all the stars align sometimes, but there's potential for more in there.
I've said this already. Don't forget, we're in President's Cup year. You will get a lot of internationals now starting to percolate, undoubtedly. And actually, I was looking through the world rankings yesterday, and there's so much depth in talent now in terms of Korea, Canada, you know, and Australia, you know, even New Zealand with Ryan Fox. There's you've even got Griot in there from South America. You've got the makings of quite a strong team coming together there, and they're all edging, a lot of them, you know, now in the top 50, top 60 in the world. So that, you know, that for players like Erik van Rooyen, players like Mackenzie Hughes, players that think that they're good enough to play President's Cup, you know, they've got to put good performances in to, you know, there's a whole host now, of course, of Koreans that can get into that team. Tom Kim, Siwoo Kim, you've got, who's the one that I've forgotten? Sung Jae-im. You've got, of course, now, who else have we got? The New Zealand guy or the Australian guy? Cam
Fox.
Davis. It's just a plethora of, Minwoo Lee, plethora of talent there. So players like Van Rooyen, Hughes, Nick Taylors, a lot of the Canadians, Corey Connors to a certain extent, they've got to start playing well to get into that team.
Yep.
And you're going to see that into the early, you know, into early middle of the next season. next year rather. It's good. It's exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Should we? It's a packed show. Let's move on quickly. Undoubtedly, better event this week is the Ned Bank Challenge. We're not seeing a whole host of WDs as we are over in Bermuda. Let's crack on with the Ned Bank, which clearly they play at Gary Player Golf and Country. In terms of best bookmaker for the 2023 Ned Bank Challenge, we're highlighting Bet365, who as ever have their each-way extra market available, which gives you the option to increase or decrease the number of places when you are betting pre-event on the Ned Bank outright. You've used their 8 places each way on some of your tips, haven't you, Paul, this week?
I have indeed, yeah, a couple, yeah.
As ever. Now, as we record this pod, they're offering extended market best odds and 8 places each way on market leaders, such as Tommy Fleetwood, 7-1 favourite, Max Homer at 8-1, yeah, you heard that correctly, Max Homer on the DP World Tour. We've got Justin Thomas and Ryan Fox at 14-1, yeah, you heard that right, Justin Thomas on the DP World Tour. Jordan Smith at 25-1. And Marcel CM, he's a 50-1 chance. In terms of boosts, they're boosting Max Homer from 8-1 to 9-1, Justin Thomas from 14-1 to 16-1, and Robert McIntyre, first round leader, he's being boosted from 33-1 to 40-1 with Bet365. If you are 18 plus and do not have a Bet365 sports account, you can find details of their current bet £10. Get £30 in free bets, new customer promotion, plus a link through to that very offer with T's and C's in this podcast description. Don't forget to use the bonus code SPORT30. That is SPORT30 when registering. Right, Paul, take us through the Ned Bank Golf Challenge, please.
Yeah, I think that's effectively the warm-up event for next week's DP World Tour Championship, isn't it? Actually, it's the last time that it will be, because I know you and I chatted about this a week or so ago, Steve. They've chopped and changed with the schedule for next year, and Abu Dhabi, which is normally right at the start of the year, will be the event immediately prior to the DP World Tour Championship next year. So you'll have two big Middle Eastern events to complete the season over on the DP World Tour, which will add a different dimension to it, I guess. So in terms of the Ned Bank, whether they try and squeeze the Ned Bank into another spot, we shall see. But for now, it's the last time that we'll see it as the curtain raiser, effectively, for the season's end. They've also chopped and changed with the format of this over the years, and you may remember from many years ago, it used to be a elite field 12 player affair. Now, this year we're playing with what looks like a field of 66. I'd assumed it was going to be 65, which was a bit of an odd number with 5 invites and the top 60 available from the race to Dubai, but it appears to be 66. So they obviously wanted a round number there. No cut this week, 4 straight rounds, so quite straightforward in that respect, but a limited field of just 66. So if you are managing to get some additional each way terms on your bets this week, then you could potentially be getting some pretty good value in a limited field event. In terms of the field, I mean, you've run through a few of them. I'll just go through the top 8 or so. Tommy Fleetwood 8-1 very best, but as you said, Steve, 7-1 generally, and likely to be shorter than that in places. Max Homer 9-1, Justin Thomas 14-1, both of those guys making their debuts over here this week at the Gary Player. Ryan Fox a little bit 18-1, but generally 16s. Justin Rose 20, Adrian Moronk 22, and then you're into the likes of Aaron Rye, Jordan Smith, Brandon Grace at 25s, the Højgaard brothers at 28s, and 35-1 bar those players. Boyle Sports are 8 places each way as standard this week, so do check them out. And of course, as Steve said, Bet365 have their 8 places each way 150 odds option available as ever. So the field is 66, well worth looking at these additional each way place options. Now the course, Gary Player Country Club, Sun City, 7,834-yard par 72. So on paper, it's a bit of a brute, but it is played at altitude. So in my mind, and this is often how it's portrayed, you can roughly assume meters for yards. So it makes it much closer to kind of 7,200 yards would be how I would translate it. Lots of tee boxes as well. So the organisers can chop and put the tees where they like and change the yardage as well during the course of the 4 days. So it doesn't tend to play its full length, certainly not the scorecard length, and with the altitude it's a bit shorter as well. So don't just assume it's just for the most powerful players out there. Relatively tight fairways though, particularly for a course of this style. Trees and bushes from just off of this short grass, so if you're particularly wayward you could be in a lot of trouble. Slick bent grass greens. It's generally not a pushover. It's been, over the last few years in particular, it's been quite a challenge in terms of the winning score, which I'll run through in a second. There is lots of history to go through this week. We also had the South African Open, which was played here in 2020 and 2021. So if you're flicking through the course stats or the combined stats this week on the site, there's a little addition there for those 2 years for the South African Opens, which were played here at the Sun City, but of course weren't the Nedbank per se. If you really want to delve in, there are stacks of results from Sunshine Tour events as well. Generally not as relevant for this week's field, but if you want to get a wider feel of the winning scores or style of play, etc., there's loads of Sunshine Tour events that are hosted here over the years as well. So lots and lots to delve through this week. But yeah, in terms of the most relevant, it's got to be the Nedbank events and also those South African Open events from 20 and 21. In terms of the weather, Sun City, well, it's going to be living up to its name, I think, this week. Barely a cloud in the sky, temperatures up to 90 Fahrenheit, 5 to 10 mile an hour winds, nothing to worry the players there. That might lend itself to a slightly deeper winning score, but from what we've seen over the last few years, it's been quite a challenge. Recent winners, 2013, Thomas Bjorn won at 20 under. So we could get to a decent score back then. He was 30 to 1. 2014, Danny Willett, 18 under, 25 to 1. 2015, Mark Leishman, 19 under. So really quite consistent winning scores back then, 66 to 1. Then it started to get a little bit trickier. 2016, Alex Noren was 14 under, 20 to 1 shot. Brandon Grace won in 2017, 11 under. As a 16 to 1 shot. 2018, Lee Westwood, 15 under, 40 to 1. And then Tommy Fleetwood won in 2019 and 2022 at 12 under and 10 under par. So we've been gradually kind of eking the winning score higher and higher in that respect. So 10 under for the last renewal 12 months ago from Tommy. He was an 11 to 1 shot last year. 2019 he was 14 to 1, so well fancied on both occasions. Danny van Tonder and Christian Bezuidenhout won the two South African Opens in 2020 and 2021. Slightly easier setup by the looks of it, 16 and 18 under they won it. But if you look through the stats for those winners, all the way back really, greens in regulation in terms of traditional stats has been the key angle to look here at Sun City. It makes sense if you look at the way the course is set up. It does tend to lend itself to players who can find a lot of putting surfaces primarily. We've got some patchy strokes gain data. It's patchy from the South African Open event in 2020 where it was captured. A little bit better for the Nedbanks, but even so, not great. From what we can glean from that, strokes gained approach, 7th, 1st and 6th from the three winning totals. Strokes gained tee to green, 1st, 2nd, 2nd. So that, again, to me, it screams that kind of tee to green player, approach play, greens in regulation. Maximising your game from tee to green has got to be the way forward this week, I think. In terms of course form, current form first, last three winners, all of them had a top five in one of their previous four starts. Generally, if you can go back further than that, some solid incoming form has tended to be the way forward here. Course form, the last four winners, two of them Tommy Fleetwood, also had decent course form. Brandon Grace had finished 20th and 4th in his two previous Ned Banks, and then he won in 2017. Lee Westwood's got a fantastic record here going back, Sunshine Tour days and previous Ned Banks. He'd won a couple of those, and then he won in 2018. Tommy Fleetwood, well, defended in 2022, effectively 3 years late, but 10th prior to winning his first title back in 2019. So Tommy had taken a shine to the course, had Westwood previously. Brandon Grace had played well. I think a bit of course form doesn't hurt here. So it does raise questions when you're looking at the likes of maybe a Max Homer or Justin Thomas, who are coming here and playing at a lot of altitude and making their course debut at skinny prices. For me, it does make my mind up on that kind of player. Bit of a dilemma, though, with Tommy, because his course form is so good. His current form's not bad either. Top 10 at the Open Championship, 6th at the BMW PGA Championship. 8-1 at absolute best at the moment, probably 7-1 by the time you're listening to this. I don't know. I expect Tommy to be in the mix this week, but there's absolutely no juice in that. I mean, I remember last year looking at the 11-1 and thinking, "Oh, that's skinny." And he's 7-1 now. Tough ask. If you fancy Tommy this week, it'd have to be pretty much an all eggs in one basket job, which not really my style. But if you do fancy him, then I can see him being in and around the top few places. Whether he actually wins or not, I don't know. Tommy doesn't tend to get over the line that often, does he? It's often quite a stretch. Anyway, I'm back four this week. I've left him alone. I've left Homer and Thomas alone. The first one for me this week is a little bit further down. It's Aaron Rye at 25-1. For me, his game type fits the bill perfectly. If you look at the likes of Tommy, Lee Westwood, even Jim Furyk has won here a couple of times as well. Metronomic can win here. Greens and Regulation can win here. Aaron's got a PGA Tour card already secured, so there's no pressure in that respect. He's 61st in the race to Dubai coming into this week. So if he's going to make the Tour Championship next week, then he needs a big week. And he's been a decent nick over on the PGA Tour. 12th at Colonial, 3rd at the Canadian Open, 9th at the Rocket Mortgage. Came inches away, you remember, from forcing a playoff at Wentworth back in September. Been playing some nice stuff. 9th last time out in Qatar. And from his two attempts here at Sun City, 8th and 13th. So I think Aaron Rye can be a fixture or feature this week at least. Another who needs a decent week to guarantee himself a start at the Earth Course is Matt Wallace, and I've backed him at 40-1 also. Now, like Aaron Rye, he's been playing mainly over on the PGA Tour, but when he's dipped back over to the DP World Tour at this level, he's been impressive. Second at the Czech Masters, you remember that one, only Todd Clements stopped him that week. He shot that final round 63 just to take the title by the scruff of the neck. Otherwise, that was Matt Wallace's to win. 6th at the Dunhill Links, 9th in Qatar. Now, in Qatar, he was strokes gained positive in every category. I've been reading stuff that he's been talking about on social media. I think he's very, very close, Matt. I think a decent test like this week is where he's going to be best served. And if he can produce his best stuff this week, I think he can go well. He was 5th here in 2018 and is, for me, in better overall form right now. Now, I know we're quite tight for time, so I'll rattle through my other two and then bring you guys in. I've also backed Marcel Siem at 50-1 with 8 places. You can get 55s if you want to take fewer places, but I've gone for the 8 place option, 50-1. Now, in terms of qualification for next week, that's one aspect of what players will be looking at who are a little bit further down the list this week in terms of their Race to Dubai rankings. But we've also got this 10 PGA card or PGA Tour card scenario, which is going to capture the imagination of an awful lot of players. Now, you've got some players who are pretty much locked up the card for next year, some who are in the position to take a card but need to look over their shoulder, and then a few like Marcel Siem who are just outside that top 10 and can really have a go at trying to get a card this week. And for me, you know, CM, age of 43, if he's going to make it, then this is going to be his best chance of his career, of his life, most likely to get a chance to go and play on the PGA Tour for the year. And I think, you know, that's going to motivate him. Some of these guys, I think, over the course of the weekend, we'll probably start to see him wobble a bit when they're, you know, the thoughts of getting a PGA Tour card, the thoughts of playing over in America for a year will start to prey on their mind. I think CM, it will do the opposite. I think he's the kind of player that will just galvanise. And we've seen a bit of that recently when he finished fourth and seventh in the two Spanish events recently. A lot of passion, a lot of desire to try and grab one of these spots. And I think that this could be a big week for Marcel. Now, he won his first European Tour, as it was at the time, title on South African soil back in 2004, it was. That was in Johannesburg, so altitude's no issue. Fourth here in 2014, sixth here at the South African Open in 2020. So some good course form as well. Long game's been really good. Been flicking through his stats. We know he's a streaky putter, Marcel. But his long game stats have been really on point recently. So something's clicked in his game. And for me, he's a pretty live runner at 50-1 this week, I must say. Mm-hmm. Final one, Dan Bradbury. I backed him 110-1 yesterday. Been nibbled in places. So in and around the 100-1 price point, I guess, by the time you're listening to this. Course debutant, but that's pretty much where he's been all year. He's only been on the scene for just over a year. But again, a player who's progressing and one that I think we'll hear lots about in the years to come. Now, he won the Joburg Open last year. That was his first time at playing at altitude ever, from what I've read. And he took to it like a duck to water, won by three. And that was after showing some decent promise at the Spanish Open before that, 13th this year. Finished sixth at the Spanish Open, 13th last time out at Andalusia. He led the field for greens in regulation in Madrid as well. That's his strength. His strength is his long game. Greens in regulation, strokes gained approach, strokes gained tee to green, strokes gained off the tee as well. He's right up there, top 20 or thereabouts on all of those metrics for the season to date. So this course, I think, should suit Dan Bradbury very, very nicely. And I can see him sneaking into one of the places this week at a tasty price. But then my four, Bradbury, CM, Wallace, Aaron Rye. Now, Barry, give us the actual winner, please.
Oh, no, John, lightning doesn't really strike twice that often, does it? I'm leaning towards Ewan Ferguson.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, nice recent run, 9th, 13th, 16th, 13th at this last time out. I don't know, just gravitating towards it. It was him and Jameson have just been popping up on my radar quite a lot recently. And, you know, it's because they're playing good golf. So you're seeing their names a lot. There's not much more to the pick than that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm going to say that he was certainly one on the shortlist. He was being backed in very, very heavily yesterday. So there was a lot of early action on him from kind of 50-1 to where was he now? 33, 35, or a little bit 40 maybe.
But I'll take it. Yeah. Highly accurate. So it kind of matches what you were getting at earlier. Yeah. And I've backed Aaron. Yeah, I don't know. I think it might be time to jump off the Aaron Rye ship. Backed him a few times in the States. I know. I might just have a little saver just in case, because there was reason. You know, there were reasons I was backing him in the States, and maybe he's maybe exiting there. Just, you know, he's got the job done, sorted there for next year.
Yeah,
maybe that unlocks him here. Just a different change of soil
takes the pressure off, doesn't it? And the thing I noticed with Rye is he was strokes gained positive in Qatar. Now, we've talked about Aaron Rye's putting at length on this over the years, and you know, you generally expect to see similar kind of numbers come out of his game each week with strong tee to green performances, you know, a very accurate off the tee performance, and generally a negative strokes gained putting. But if he started to find a little bit of a spark with a putter,
yeah.
then that can be.
This is no parting contest, is it?
No, absolutely not when you're looking at the names of Lee Westwood and Tommy Fleetwood and at the top of
it's Fleetwood, many a leaderboard. 21st in 2019 and 34th for parting in 2022.
Dominate tee to green.
I backed three. I found it quite easy, actually. I've gone for CM, 50-1 with Bet365. I think he's the kind of player that will actually be inspired by this quest. And yep. We've been talking about it for a while now. For a player of his age, for a player of his history, for a player that's gone through the trials and tribulations of a full career like he has, to make the PGA Tour would be amazing.
Huge.
And I think that will inspire him. And I don't, you know, I don't think Earth Course shouts Marcel CM next week.
No, this is better.
This is far better. So this is his chance of glory this week, I think. I've no idea what he needs to get into the top 10, but if he plays well, it's got to be driving him in the right yeah, direction.
It's going to depend what everyone else does, Steve, as well. Yeah. So
he can't work through the connotations.
These players have just got to go out there and give it absolutely everything.
I also like the idea of picking a couple of players where that is of no consequence whatsoever. And we do get some very high quality players that win here in general. Because it's that kind of course and it's that kind of field. I think Aaron Rye fits, so I'm on Rye as well. I'm on exactly the same terms that you got on with again at Bet365. So I've got the 8 places and the 25-1 on Aaron Rye. He makes perfect sense with his metronomic game. The other one I've gone for that was a little bit below my radar, and I had a quick dig into him. 14th and 4th for approach in his last two outings. Wentworth, Open d'Espagne. 10th and 12th for tee to green. He was also 2nd and 15th for greens in regulation, which really his game. And also noticeably, he was hitting tons and tons of fairways at both Madrid and Wentworth. And I look at Tommy Fleetwood, he's actually, you know, and someone like a Jim Furyk here, where do they play well in the States? Because that's the way angle I always look. And you look at Fleetwood, he's all over the Florida golf courses. He's all over the Honda Classic, all over the Arnold Palmer Invitational, all over Copperhead, where they play the Valspar. It was him, Spieth, and Taylor Moore this year, wasn't it, that contended there with Adam Schenk at Copperhead. Mm. The name that just popped up to me that's got a fantastic form in Florida, and if you said to me down the pub one day, you know, who's one of the best bent grass players in the world, I'd say Justin Rose. So I managed to get on Rose yesterday at 20-1 as well with Bet365. So I've got Rose, Rye, and I've got CM. The problem with Rose has been his putting. He's lost 7.36 and 8.81 strokes putting in his last two performances. If he can right the putter on bent grass, and we know that he's clearly got very close associations with South Africa, I could see him going very, very well. So Rose, Rye, CM for me.
Yeah, it probably only needs to be neutral for Rose if his tee to green game is bang on the money this week. So.
Yeah. Neutral would be great. Losing 8.8 strokes isn't really...
Not so great.
That's not good for man nor beast. But on bent grass greens, he's an absolute killer in the past. Mm. I know when I go through my bent grass numbers, it's always him and Rory McIlroy at the top on the PGA Tour since 2008.
Yeah. He can putt it.
So it just needs something to click.
Indeed.
Right, I can't promise you or go into the Butterfield Bermuda Championship with the same kind of gusto in terms of what field we've got on offer. Because it's not very good. you've got Adam Scott, the favourite, which tells you pretty much all you need to know. And fair play to Adam for playing. Brendan Todd. I mean, I'm going through the top 8 names like you did, Paul. They're not really stacking up the same as yours. Scott, Todd, Dietrich, Bartier, Ben Griffin, Lucas Herbert, Alex Smalley, Taylor Pendrith. I'll throw Alex Nguyen in and Lucas Glover. Have you noticed how Lucas Glover's odds are starting to fall back down again? All of a sudden, Glover in this field, bearing in mind he made Eastlake and was one of the best players at the end of last year, is 10th in this field in terms of betting odds. Yeah. Just think, okay. Starting to drift a little. But yes, they play this at Port Royal, which is a very, very picturesque golf course. It's an absolute beauty. 6,828 yards. Southampton, Bermuda. It's not a bad spot. If I was going to earn a few million, billion quid, I'd probably shack up at somewhere like Bermuda. Holes with water hazards, 7. So quite a few, if you think about it, on a coastal golf course. It's short. It's a par 71. And from an agronomy's perspective, I can really freak out this week. It's absolutely fantastic. I've got details for not only the front nine, but the back nine. The front nine is 419 Bermuda grass, and the back nine, these are the fairways and rough. 419 Bermuda grass. There's also Zoysia in there, guys. Zoysia. But that's only on the back nine. None of this is consequential at all. I know that, but... also, 8,000 square feet on average green surfaces, which I thought were massive for a 6,828-yard golf course. But I suppose it's by the coast. They want to make sure plenty of the members and holiday makers do actually hit greens rather than find themselves in all manner of trouble, I would have thought. That kind of comes across as well in the difficulty level. This was in the top 10 easiest golf courses last year. And it was blowing at points 25 to 30 miles an hour. And it still played 1.84 shots beneath par for the whole field. So you're going to need to make birdies this week. Fully kitted out with Bermuda grass with that little bit of Zoysia in the mix on the fairways and the rough on the back nine. 36-35 split. The front nine featuring a couple of reachable par fives. The back nine is a bit tougher. There's a couple of holes where there's water off the water's a feature off the tee. There's also a couple of holes that kind of pebble beach-esque, right hanging on the cliffs, par threes. But yeah, it's gettable. It's gettable. It's, as ever, coastal golf course. It all depends on the weather. Now, from what I've seen, the first 2 days, it's going to lie down. Nothing more than 10 miles an hour. And then on Saturday, we see a southwesterly gusting up to 25. And interestingly enough, and you don't see this very often, on the Sunday, it goes full 180, becomes a northeasterly, exactly the same wind strength, if the forecast is to be believed. So that'd be just interesting to see how the course plays with two completely opposite wind directions.
Yep, keep them on their toes.
Definitely. Power, 19 under one last year. Lucas Herbert, 15 under the year before. That was particularly windy. I remember that final round. It was gusting 35, 40 mile an hour. Patrick Reed came from nowhere to grab second place with some crazily good round on the Sunday. Before that, Brian Gay, Brendan Todd. Plotters, and then the two most recent, a bit longer off the tee. But in my mind, this golf course is a real putter's heaven. Short game, scrambling and putters. That's kind of where I'm at with it. And you can kind of tell that. I mean, we've got no strokes gain data because it's a PGA Tour event outside the United States in the fall. But if you just look at the winners here, Todd, Gay, Herbert, Power, average through where within the made field they ranked. Driving distance, 30th. Driving accuracy, 26th in the field. Greens in regulation, 23rd in the field, which is really, really low. You normally see that, sometimes single digits. Scrambling, 18th. Putting average, 6th. So it actually goes completely the opposite direction to what we normally see, which is greens in regulation being really, really important. Here, putting, 18th. Putting average, 6th. Putting contest, effectively. Anything else to mention? Winning prices here. They've been an absolute mismatch mixed bag. 22-1 Power last year. I think it was fourth favourite, something like that. Herbert 80-1. And then Brian Gay 200-1, Brendan Todd 100-1. So, I mean, the average is pretty meaningless. It's 100-1. We've just had a plethora of players pulling out, though, and I don't know. I find that difficult when you've got, there's a decent. I guarantee it'd be interesting to see. I haven't seen anything, but if in terms of world rankings, will this event outrank the Nedbank this week?
It does.
As seems to happen, yeah?
Yeah. It does. Yeah, I looked at the Nosferatu stats on Twitter X yesterday. And yeah, it's. Well, I guess the other point with that is that Nedbank's a short field, so there's less aggregated ranking points on there. But yeah, it's still marginally ahead.
So. There's $6.5 million up for grabs. $1.17 million to the winner. 500 FedEx Cup points. The winner qualifies for the Tournament of Champions in January and the Masters. And we've just had a plethora. I'm not including Eric Van Rooyen in this for obvious reasons, but a plethora of players saying, nah, I don't fancy that. Could put my feet up. I find that a bit strange, but there you go. Players' mentalities and all that. It's like some of these tournaments are below them and they're sort of ranking 117th in the FedEx Cup standings. I've gone for four. Well, I haven't. I did go for four and one of them's withdrawn. Mackenzie Hughes has saved me some of my stake money this week, so that's good. Barry did tell me pre-pod that he wasn't going to win anyway, so that's good. It saved some of my stake money. I've gone for a couple up the top of the leaderboard. I managed to snag, literally by the skin of my teeth, with William Hill. Thanks, William Hill. 25-1 on Ben Griffin. Listeners will know Ben. Very good on Bermuda grass. Just comes to the party on Bermuda grass. The last time we saw him was, of course, he threw away that Sanderson Farms Championship last month, where he dominated and then froze on the final round. Still got into a playoff, and that was the five-man playoff where Luke List went all Eric Van Rooyen and made something like a 45 to 50-foot putt to win the tournament. Yeah, Griffin, I just think if you're looking at a player that's going to win soon on tour, I think Griffin in this field is one of the most likely. And also this short Bermuda grass golf course just suits him down to the ground. And it was interesting last week. I didn't have him down for Paspalham and he was okay. I mean, he finished top 20, but it was his Saturday and Sunday rounds seemed to be really growing in momentum. So I think Griffin could be a real danger this week. So I'm on Griffin, 2 points each way, 25-1 with William Hill, 8 places each way. I've also gone for another player that, oh, by the way, with Griffin, he was third here last year. I think he was the 54-hole leader. I've also gone for another player that was 54-hole leader, and that was the year before that, the one that Herbert won, Taylor Pendrith. Pendrith is trending very nicely. And the thing I noticed with Pendrith, especially from 2022 last year, when he actually got into the President's Cup team, when Pendrith finds form, he's one of these players that can literally just, you know, put together top 10, top 13 finishes. He got 6 top 13 finishes across 7 tournaments last year. They included 13th of the players. There was an 8th at the BMW Championship, which was a FedEx Cup playoff event. So that was loaded. 2nd at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. He was the 54-hole leader here when Herbert won in 2021. He shot 61-65 across Friday and Saturday to be leading by 3 shots going into Sunday. But Pendrith had just got promoted from the Corn Ferry at that point. Very low experience on the main tour. And it was gusting up to 30 miles an hour. I did describe that. That was the day Patrick Reed went, I think he shot 65 when everyone else was shooting 73s and 74s. Yeah. Yeah. Pendrith, in the end, came third. But did he come third? No, I don't think he did. I think he came fifth. Yeah, but yeah, so Pendrith and Griffin for me at the top, 25-1 chances. I was on Mackenzie Hughes. He's done the honourable thing. My final selection, chaps, at the moment is an 80-1 chance. So where are you guys at in terms of your leading punts on this one? So let's start with Barry.
I'm going to go, because I haven't formulated where I'm going at the top of the market, I have one that at the very, very depths, who I'll start with. It's Wesley Bryan.
Oh, yeah.
The two brothers seem to just be having a bit of a ball at the moment. Noticed they're out in Bermuda already. They were filming some YouTube content. So just kind of just jump on to that kind of good vibes they have. Wesley's won on Bermuda grass before, and 300-1 for 8 places. I mean, why not? So that's my super long punt outsider to start off.
He's been featuring on that PGA Tour follow through at round as well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
With Eckroats on there, isn't he? And is it Endicott, the Australian?
They're good. I like those.
Yeah. That is. Do you know, that's very insightful stuff. I like it.
Yeah.
Really do like it. So you're on Wesley Bryan, clearly a winner at Harbour Town by the coast. So that makes a level of sense. What about you, Paul?
Yeah, I've got. I've only backed two this week. One near the top, and then one plumbing the similar kind of depths to Barry. Akshay Bhatia, I've stuck with on near the top of the market, 20-1. This is a poor field, isn't it? I think this is the kind of field that he could absolutely beat up. Closed with a 64 for a top 10 last week, and progressive form overall now 43rd, 35th, 21st. 10th, 17th here last year, and that came off the back of 3 missed cuts on the Corn Ferry, and that was his first start for nearly 2 months as well. So hit the ground running after potentially being a bit rusty and a bit out of form here 12 months ago. I think it's a level above most of these. He needs to putt well. His putting can be a bit sporadic, but we have seen spells where he's putted well enough to contend and compete. And if he's coming off the back of a 64, he's shown a little bit of a spark, and the ball's finding the bottom of the cup, particularly on Sunday. So Bhatia, 20-1. The other one I've backed is further down, Satoshi Kodaira. And that's, again, it's the Harbour Town link there. You mentioned in your preview there's potential for that to be a fair comp course for this. So I quite like that. As we know, he won there, and we won't talk too much about the players that he beat that week.
Quiet.
in terms of it being a short Bermuda grass greened course, you've got that. 12th recently at the Zozo, and that was a decent enough effort, especially in comparison to this. 6th for drive and accuracy, 2nd for greens and regulation, 8th for scrambling that week. So 5th after 54 holes. Missed the cut last week. The Zozo was the week before. Missed the cut last week, but this suit's much, much better, I think. And Kodaira 200-1 with 8 places. William Hill out there right now. So happy to take that as a little outsider pump. But that's just 2 for me this week.
My longest tip is 80-1. It's Henrik Norlander. He's 121st in the FedEx Cup standings. So there's only 4 below him. So he needs to play well. He's a Bermuda grass monster. Love that phrase. 5 of his last 8 top 10 finishes have come on Bermuda grass. He's had a 5th at Sea Island, the RSM Classic, 9th at the Sony Open. He's also had a 2nd, a 4th, and a 4th at Jackson. He was another one that was in that, I keep referring to that Luke List, Ben Griffin playoff at Sanderson Farms last month. And he was in that as well. He's been playing off partial status this year. So for him to stay in the 125 this year would be a massive upgrade for Norlander. Be able to actually fully plan his schedule for 2024. The sort that would just pop up and grab a decent finish, I think, on a short Bermuda grass golf course. I'm also toying, and Paul knows this because I've been writing content already. I'm toying with 2. I've got some stake money that Mackenzie Hughes has given back to me. I know for a fact that if I don't actually tip him up this week, Brandon Wu is likely to stiff me because I was on him last week, and all I kept talking about last week was he was a coastal golf course expert. So I might go for Brandon Wu. He's around 50 to 1. And the other one is Alanto Griffin at around 55 to 60 to 1. But clearly, I will be releasing or re-releasing my published preview later on Tuesday with what I decide to do with the stake money that's been handed back to me by Mackenzie Hughes. Is that us done, chaps?
Yeah, I think so. Short and sweet this week.
Short and sweet. Actually gives me a little bit of time, maybe, to get those tips or tip written. Right, I hope your bets go well, chaps. We've only got one more podcast in terms of tips left for 2023, and that is next week. The DP World Tour Championship alongside the RSM Classic on the PGA Tour. I hope your bets go well, gents.
Yeah, best luck, boys.
You too, guys.
Best of luck to listeners. If you're still with us, don't forget you can follow us on X. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you again next week. Cheerio.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved. With all the stats and the tips and so much more, 'cause it's the golf betting system, the golf betting system, it's the golf.